Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for hanging in there, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board. Let me remind you once again, you can join in this dialogue discussion today by simply dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment. I invite you, encourage you to call. Love to hear from you. Are you noticing anything that would be called the secularization of our nation? Do you see that in our schools? Do you see that in the workplace, the marketplace, and in your churches? What do you see that is in tune with what we're saying today on this broadcast? That telephone number again is 831-0917. We're talking about the secularization of America. We're talking about being divided as a nation by the cross, and it's the secularization of America. And I say it's the secularist war, the secularist war on America. But ladies and gentlemen, America is a Christian nation. America was founded on biblical values. America was founded on faith and family and the Word of God. And yet America is far away from God. America today and the church, our churches in America, we're losing the saltiness. We're losing our savor. And Jesus said, ladies and gentlemen, if the salt had lost its savor, has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that that's what we see taking place with the church today? Because there's no saltiness, there's no savor, and the church is being cast out and trodden underfoot. Question to ponder, question to consider. Is that what is taking place? Is that what we see happening that we're referring to oftentimes as the apostasy, the falling away? Is that what we see today? We're talking about the secularization of our society. But ladies and gentlemen, our churches and our pastors, we have failed to be the salt and the light that God's called us to be. And today, ladies and gentlemen, as a society, we stand in a dilemmatized position. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving away from God. The church begins to lose its authority, and society faces a stark reality of greater and greater decline and upheavals in morals and values and faith in our nation. We're watching the family crumble. We're watching the with greater and greater emphasis on drugs and immorality and sex education in our schools and the Islamic jihadist promotion in our classrooms. Thus, our children, ladies and gentlemen, are targets. They are treated as animals. They're told that they just evolved from a blob in the ocean. Therefore, God is not powerful. God is not God. Islam and Allah and Muhammad have replaced God, replaced Jesus, replaced the Bible, replaced the cross, and all Judeo-Christian values in our classrooms. I find it antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth today with what we see taking place. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that people like Vice President Pence has taken a stand on some of these issues. Perhaps you're aware of the fact there's been a battle over the Bible in the Veterans Administration Hospital. This article says Vice President Pence says the Bible stays at veterans hospitals facing lawsuits. Pence said that under the Trump administration, VA hospitals will not be religious-free zones. Vice President Mike Pence weighed in on the First Amendment lawsuit challenging a Bible on display in the New Hampshire Veterans Hospital, saying under the current administration, VA hospitals will not be religious-free zones. He goes on to say, in the VA hospital, the Bible stays. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for that kind of stand. And I believe that we need to have pastors that will take that stand. We need to have churches and denominations that will take that stand, not just political leaders. But ladies and gentlemen, we're faced today with the major secularization of our society. Here's an article again. This is from the Oxford Handbook online. It says the secularization paradigm argues that the decline of religion in the West is an unintended consequence of a variety of complex social changes known as modernization and secularization. Without a dramatic reversal, listen, without a dramatic reversal of the increasing cultural autonomy of the individual, secularization is irreversible. You hear that? Secularization is irreversible. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Secularization, that is, turning from the Word of God, turning from the cross, turning from Jesus, turning from any biblical values, turning from anything that would be called moral, ethical foundation, turning from anything that would be called faith and family and the future of the family. it turns into secularization. Secularization inevitably embraces socialism and communism, and thus a dictatorship control. If you don't believe that, look at Cuba. If you don't believe that, look at North Korea. If you don't believe that, look at Venezuela. If you don't believe that, look at every other secularist culture, every socialist culture, every communist culture, and you'll see what we're talking about. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about it further in this broadcast. Under the communism in China, which is a secular nation, they are destroying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the statistical data says there are between 50 and 80 million Christians in China. They've been meeting in secret, meeting in closeted churches, meeting in home churches. And now there's an overt, absolute in-your-face statement from the Chinese leadership that they're going to close those churches and crush those that are promulgating them in the nation of China. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where secularism is forcing on our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public schools, the governmentally controlled schools, the brainwashing of our students, where they're forcing the LGBTQ. In fact, in our schools today, ladies and gentlemen, may I be bold enough to tell you that the overwhelming majority of the literature that's being used in our schools today under the guise of sex education is nothing but raw pornography that is planned, prepared, authored, and produced and published by the LGBTQ agenda and Planned Parenthood agenda. That provides more clients for those that are the perverts wanting to be predators on our students, our schools, our kids in the schools. And with Planned Parenthood that needs that raw, open, in-your-face sex education to provide the further abortions in the abortion mills, the murder mills called Planned Parenthood. Here's an article that further talks about what's happening in our schools in relationship to Islam and sex education. This one is about Islam. School fails a Christian girl for not saying Islamic prayer. When a Maryland school required students to affirm the Islamic prayer declaring Allah is the only God, a Christian girl was given a zero for the course because she refused to violate her faith. However, this article says instead of taking her failing grade, she decided to fight back. Here is the part of the curriculum. The curriculum made multiple implications that could have been straight out of an imam's sermon. These are the 5 points that's found in the curriculum that this was in the school, found in the school in Maryland. Most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian, end quote. Islam at the heart is a peaceful religion. Jihad is a personal struggle and devotion to Islam, especially involving spiritual decline, discipline. Number four, to Islam, to Muslims, Allah is the same God that is worshipped in Christianity and Judaism. Ladies and gentlemen, let me stop. Allah is not God. Allah, in fact, in the Quran, they brag that Allah was not married, didn't have a wife, therefore he couldn't have a son. Therefore, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Allah is the moon god of the 7th century that Muhammad chose to worship. Allah is not God, regardless of what you hear some theologians, some churches, some pastors, and some of those that are ignoramuses when it comes to what Islam is and how dangerous it is to the culture in which we're living in. But the following and the explosion and the growth and development of Islam in America is part of the secularization of our nation. You can go to any nation, ladies and gentlemen, and where you find the church declining, where you find a void of Judeo-Christian values, you'll find a major increase on Islam, major increase on the Islamization of that nation, a major increase in the secularization of the nation, a major increase on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the secularization of America and thus the decline of our nation morally, ethically, and biblically. We need to be aware of that and take a stand on that. Every culture, every society or nation where you find there is a great diversity in languages, religions, and values, you will find a secularized push, the secularization push. You'll find a societal push to embrace, to accept, and to celebrate the differences, and thus Christianity and biblical values are rejected. You hear what I'm saying? In every culture, ladies and gentlemen, where you find in every society or every nation, where you find a great diversity in languages and religions and values, you'll find a societal push to embrace and to accept and to ultimately celebrate the differences. And therefore, Christianity and biblical values are rejected in toto. In fact, in Luke chapter 18, the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, the 8th verse, the Lord Jesus himself asked a very profound question that I believe begs to be asked and answered on this broadcast at this moment. Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man, and he's talking about himself, Jesus, cometh, he's talking about at his return, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith, that is Christian faith, on the earth? End quote. That's a profound question. Being asked by the Son of God, being asked by God incarnate, being asked by Jesus Christ himself. And the answer to that question is an emphatic no. And we're watching the demise of the Judeo faith in the culture in which we're living in. And it's because of the secularization and the secularist war on America. If you don't believe there's a secularist war on America, tune in to Communist Network News or the Clinton Network News, and you watch them bashing anything that's called morals and ethics and values. If you don't believe that there's a secularist war against America today, listen to Ilhan Omar or Rashid Tlaib and the other Muslims that have been elected in the Congress in America. If you don't believe that that is the case, watch the number of lawsuits that are filed against Christian churches, Christian ministries, Christian businessmen and businesswomen in America simply because of them adhering to their faith in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the apostasy of the church, the serious falling away of the so-called believers today. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I say so-called, listen very carefully. I've said before, and perhaps you've heard me say, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. I believe it's an impossibility, hear me clearly, it's an impossibility for a man, woman, boy, girl that's been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. It's an impossibility to be lost again. And only being lost can you fall away from the church. And yet we have in our society today a major falling away and the promulgation of a loss of faith, a lack of faith, and leaving the Christian faith, as some even preachers are calling it today. And as a result of that falling away, ladies and gentlemen, listen, when there is the great falling away, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, tells us that before the Antichrist steps on the scene, there must first be a falling away, an apostatizing away from the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's very, very clearly taking place today in relationship to what we see. In fact, in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1 and 2 says, the Spirit, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart, fall away, leave, go astray from the faith, talking about the Christian faith, giving heed, that's giving attention, giving devotion to, seducing, that is deceptive, deceiving spirits, and doctrines, teachings of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that day. We're living in the day where there is the falling away. And any time, ladies and gentlemen, in any society, if you don't believe it, just look at the statistical data about Europe today, and you'll find in the European culture today, they started apostatizing, turning away, closing churches. Today in Europe, there's 98% secularism and 2% that claim to be Christian. That's the end result of the apostasy, the falling away. And we've watched that taking place in Europe today in the past 20 years. It is now to the point where Christians in Europe are demeaned. They're the underdog. They're being demeaned and set aside. They're losing their jobs. They're being put out of the marketplace if they do not accept and embrace the sodomite lifestyle and the Islamic agenda. In fact, women and most of Europe are being told today, don't go out at night, don't be by yourself, etc., rather than curtailing the crime that's taking place on the street with Islamic rapes taking place by the thousands in Europe. They're simply telling the European women, stay in. They, of course, they don't tell them to be armed. They're not telling them to protect themselves. Just stay in, don't go out, and be careful not to be by yourself. That's what the agenda is for Europe. That's the end result. Europe is today a totally secularized nation. And it's as a result, ladies and gentlemen, of a decline in the churches, an apostasy in the churches, and as a result of that, that vacuum is being filled with the secularization of the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize and understand that we're witnessing the apostasy, the church, where there is a serious falling away, a serious erosion of the so-called believers. Churches across America are being forced to reduce their ministry services. They're being forced to reduce their sizes. Then many are being forced to close simply because the numbers, nickels, and noses have been depleted and because pastors have failed to stand and preach the truth of the Word of God from the pulpits. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. My question is, are you listening? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you fathoming where we're going and what's taking place in our nation? Do you want to refute that? Do you question that? Do you have any input on that or any questions in relationship to what should you do? How should you respond? As Francis Schaeffer said so many years ago, the British theologian, how shall we then live? What is the answer? We're going to talk about that before this broadcast is over. We're going to give a conclusion and a cure for this problem if it is not too late in our nation to do so. Today, ladies and gentlemen, in a secularized Europe, I said a moment ago, 2% claim to have a relationship to Jesus Christ. 2% claim to be saved. 98% are secular. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, it is a demise of the church in Europe. In Europe today, churches are closing. They're turned into pubs. They're being turned into office buildings, turned into apartment buildings. And even churches are being turned into mosques in Europe today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, today we're finding Europe has been taken over by Islam due to the Europeans' liberal goals and policies, because of the immigration policy, because of the open borders policy. Today, France and Germany in particular, ladies and gentlemen, are totally in control of the jihadist Islamics. It's now Islam. In Europe today, it is hate speech to say anything against Islam, to say anything against the Sodomite agenda, to say anything against what is taking place in that decline and demoralization of the society there. In fact, the Christians are being prosecuted and persecuted for saying anything publicly about that. In fact, they're fined, monetary fines, are put in jail or put in prison. Can this happen in America, ladies and gentlemen? Is it possible for God to use that as his methodology of judging America because of our turning our backs on God? I believe the high probability and the possibility is yes. In fact, look at the little book of Habakkuk, where Habakkuk is concerned about the nation of Judah, where the nation of Judah started worshiping idols and false gods and started apostatizing, turning away from God, and everything that was imaginable in the wicked, evil, immoral society of that day. And God told Habakkuk that he's not asleep, he's not gone on vacation, he's still on the throne, and reminded Habakkuk that he was going to use the Assyrians. The Assyrians, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, was the ethnic group that dominated the Babylonian Empire. He was going to use Babylon, in essence, to come in and to destroy and take captive Judah. And one-third of Judah was taken captive, another third was taken captive, and the balance of them wiped completely out. But he told Habakkuk that I'm not asleep, I'm not on vacation, I'm still on the throne. I'm going to judge the sin of Judah by sending a more wicked people, hear me, by sending a more wicked people to bring judgment on Judah. And I believe just as God did that with Judah by using the Babylonians, and then ultimately the Babylonians were taken over and crushed by the Persian Empire, and God uses a more wicked nation to correct and direct and to judge a nation that's apostatized and turned their back on God. And I believe that's what God is doing in Europe today. I believe that's what God is in the process of doing in the United States of America today. Even though we must talk about it, we need to be concerned about it and recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it destroys the secularization of a nation, destroys families, it destroys the faith, it destroys our future. It causes a destruction of society via drugs and immorality and anything and everything that's antithetical to the scripture and what the Word of God says. Can this happen in America? Yes, I believe it's taking place now. America's on the fast track, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, to a totality of secularization. How is this possible? I've got several points that I want to touch on quickly in the latter portion of this broadcast to show you how it's possible, what we see taking place as what is happening with the secularization of the United States of America and bringing about just as it's taking place in Europe. First of all, number one is the promotion and the priority of Islam in our schools and culture and through the political agenda today. We're finding that Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and others that are Islamic and Islamic-leaning in the Congress, they can say no wrong, they can do no wrong, and they're literally undermining. It's called silent jihad. Jihad being a war against the morals and ethics and values of the Judeo-Christian beliefs. It is a silent jihad that has been released on America. And today, I understand there's over 5,200 that Islamics that will be running in every local, state, and national election for 2020. We're watching the Islamization of America. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that that is part and parcel of the problem that we see in the secularization. Number two, the legalization of marijuana in America. 33 states now have legalized marijuana, and it opens the doors for the other drugs, including opioids. And ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. I believe it was a 321 vote. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was a 321 vote in the House, and it passed in the House and the Senate, authorizing the federal banking laws to be altered and changed to allow drug money, pot money, marijuana money to be deposited in a local bank, a state or federally controlled bank. And once that takes place, and it has happened, it literally on a blanket basis makes marijuana legal in all 50 states. Yes, I understand there's only 33 states that's voted to make it legal. I understand that many of the states do not have legalized recreational marijuana. But ladies and gentlemen, it's been done by one fell swoop as a result of the banking laws in the United States of America being changed, amended to allow drug money to be deposited in the accounts. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another part of William Barr's statement. This other headline says, A.G. Barr blames drug overdoses on secular society. Barr, in a speech largely focused on the role of religion in law, decried what he described as an effort to drive religion away while promoting secularism. Quote, we see the growing ascendancy of secularism and the doctrine of moral relativism, he said. Basically, every measure of this social pathology continues to gain ground. He described several social issues as the consequences of this moral upheaval. Quote, along with the wreckage of the family, we're seeing record levels of depression, mental illness, dispirited young people, soaring suicide rates, increasing numbers of angry and alienated young males, increasing senseless violence, and a deadly drug epidemic. Over 70,000 die each year from drug overdose, he said. The so-called progressives, saying they are amount to nothing more than the militant secularists, saying that many of these so-called progressives are nothing more than militant secularists. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it better myself, but we need to understand that there's a major, major increase in the drug use in America. And when you look at Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, I believe it is in my Bible, it says that in the last days we'll be living in a drug-crazed, drug-controlled society. And we're on the fast track for that, ladies and gentlemen. And that's part and parcel of the secularization of a nation. And that secularization can only take place where there is a void of spirituality, a void of the cross, a void of Jesus, a void of the Bible, a void of biblical teaching from our pulpits. And our pulpits today, ladies and gentlemen, preaching pablum, not preaching the truth and the power of the Word of God via the Holy Spirit's teaching today. We are derelict in our responsibilities. And William Barr has said it so correctly, and I reemphasize that we're watching the secularization of our nation as we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the promotion of Islam, as we're watching the legalization of drugs and marijuana. Here's another article that says, another new study, opioid deaths rising in legal states. It's talking about legalized marijuana. This week, a study of researchers in Oregon and California added to the foundation of the data countering efforts by the marijuana industry and its promoters to paint marijuana legalization as a solution to the opioid epidemic. The study used opioid mortality data from the U.S. Census for Disease Control to compare trends in opioid death rates in states legalizing marijuana in both recreational and medical uses. In total, listen, ladies and gentlemen, in total, the study found 78% of legalized marijuana states experience significantly higher rates of opioid-related deaths after legalization than states that have not legalized the drug. Quote, with each day, more data comes to light proving the expanding access of use of marijuana is a negative influence in terms of public safety and public health. The body of evidence that this subject builds a solid case that marijuana legalization has a total negative impact on the opioid abuse in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have stated it any more succinctly and any more dramatically and dynamically than that was stated in that article. And yet we're finding a push to legalize marijuana state after state after state. That's part of the secularization of the nation. That's part of the forcing of the church to be silent. And you'd be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, I say it's an impossibility for any state to pass a legalization of marijuana lest Christians, church members, participate in that voting process. The other thing, ladies and gentlemen, the third thing that we're seeing that helps to indicate and to speed the pathway of the secularization, we have the open door to the Islamic laws and the demise of Christianity through the elected leaders. Number four, our schools are now only bastions of brainwashing of our children for the sodomite lifestyle and Planned Parenthood. Our, ladies and gentlemen, our religious denominations, for the most part, have embraced the full LGBTQ agenda, therefore destroying, denying the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christianity in total. Our pulpits are no longer taking a stand against drugs, no longer taking a stand against the LGBTQ agenda, no longer taking a stand against murder by way of abortion. Our pulpits are no longer taking a stand against immorality. Most pastors today are simply preaching a social gospel, a theology of goosebump theology, and a simply what I call voodoo theology. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to say anything other than the fact we're watching the demise of our nation. In fact, in Psalms 11:3, the scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot, we must not surrender. We must not surrender the centrality of the biblical truth with a central biblical worldview in this secular world that we have. Yet the Bible warns us that we'll see the decline of values and morals and ethics and faith in the last days in which we're living. In the scripture, we find that we're going to be living in perilous days, dark, dangerous, difficult, declining days. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to look up, lift up our heads. The scripture says, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.